Dillon Brothers Harley-Davidson and Motorsports is the Heartland's motorcycle headquarters. In addition to bikes, they also sell ATVs, side-by-sides, jet skis. They even sell Honda power equipment and mowers. Check it all out at Dillon-Brothers.com.
You know sports. We know sports. Like Sharp and Benning in the morning at 7 on 1620 The Zone and 1620TheZone.com.
Smith with a touch, working on the smaller Valentine. Head away.
And a three.
Going right.
The harder the shot, the easier it is.
All right, for the next couple of days on ESPN2, you draft Knicks, hoop heads are going to be in heaven. Top five projected guys are not there. But there's a host of others that are at the 2015 NBA Draft Combine in Chicago. The local man, Thran Pettaway, who the first 2 days has gotten some rave reviews by many people about his game. And so now they play 5-on-5, which is a new and unique addition. And a guy that has seen Pettaway, among others, up close the last couple of days in Chicago. From Draft Express, the number one source for scouting information on the top prospects in the world. Outside of the NBA, DraftExpress.com, Jonathan Givony. Jonathan, thanks for your time. Welcome back to Sharp and Betting in the Morning.
Thanks for having me. How are you guys?
Good. Hey, let's cut right to it, because people that follow you on Twitter have seen that you've gotten a closer look at Thran Pettaway, and you've been pretty impressed the first couple of days of what you've seen from him.
Well, it was just kind of a warm-up act for the actual action, which starts today. In Chicago, it was a 5-on-5 scrimmage with mostly guys that from his agency and some local players from the area. So it was pretty much a pickup game. I wouldn't put too much stock into it, but what I was saying on Twitter was, if he shoots the way he did in this setting when the actual lights are on, then it's going to be very interesting, because he really couldn't miss. It was very, very impressive.
Well, when you're taking a look at kind of what's happening with basketball, whether you hear a lot of these people criticizing the program, it's not this, it's not that, it stems from one and dones in college because it's not this and it's not that. When you're parsing through the potential mock draft, what are the couple of things that you're seeing that you know are portable from college to pro? Is it combo athleticism? Is it length? What are some key components that you think fit both games?
Well, the number one thing that teams are looking for here is character.
Ooh.
They want competitors. They want guys who are tough, who are intelligent, who are great teammates, who are going to be winners. They spend more time interviewing these guys in private settings than they do actually watching them. I think that the basketball component is not really that important, considering that it's mostly going to be second-rounders who are going to be on the court today and tomorrow. More importantly is getting these lottery picks, first-rounders, into a conference room where you can put them in front of your coaching staff and really grill them about everything that you want to know. So I think that's the most important thing. I mean, there's obviously other things. The NBA, the NBA is going in a direction of shooting. Everybody's looking for rim protection. The game is being played much faster. Size, length, athleticism is at a huge premium. But I really think the character component is something that's a little overlooked.
As a guy that spends 24/7 on the draft and the NBA, do you like the 5-on-5 addition to this combine? I mean, is this good for some guys and going to expose some others, or is it just kind of a tweak to what the NBA wants to do with the combine to make it a bigger stage?
Let's see what happens with it. You know, there's until these guys actually get on the court, I'm a little bit skeptical. I mean, it's just been a long time since it's materialized. So I always feel like, five of the best players at the last minute are going to say, "Oh, my hamstring, I can't do it," So, we'll see. I think it's a great addition. I wish more guys were competing. But you really can't replace what happened during the season. And I think that the more that we get away from that, that's when you kind of can get yourself into trouble, watching guys. If a guy makes 10 threes today, what does it really mean? Does that replace what he did you know, 4 years in college. And so you have to look at the overall body of work. And I think that these private workouts, the combine, you know, that's, it can get you into trouble, I think.
All right. So when we're taking a look at guys, let's say we're talking about high end draft prospects. You're talking about guys like D'Angelo Russell, Moutier, and let's take a Justice Winslow, where guys, you hear descriptors like athletic, rangy, big, but you don't often, and outside of Russell's passing ability, you don't hear any specific skill set. Is that a problem or a solution to the evolution of basketball?
I think versatility is at a premium. I mean, it depends who you're having the conversation with. When it comes to a guy like Winslow, I don't know anybody who wouldn't talk about his defense, his toughness, how much of a winner he is. You know, I think every one of these guys does have, you know, some real traits that are at a premium right now.
Hey, for the most part, everybody's in agreement that the Towns and the Okafors and the Russells and the Cauley-Steins and the Winslows, they'll all be in the top five, top six. A guy that is very intriguing, and we got to see him a lot, and then everybody in the country got to see him just because of the Big Ten, Frank Kaminsky. What are your thoughts, Jonathan, on his NBA future and where he'll play in the NBA?
I'm a huge fan. I think he's going to be a long-time NBA player. I don't see him as an all-star, but I think he's going to be just a notch below that. I think he's going to be a starter, a guy who can, you know, maybe like a better version of Channing Frye or something like that. And that doesn't sound that appealing probably to your listeners, but having a seven-footer who can bring the other center out to the three-point line, that is what everybody's looking for in the NBA. You know, everybody wants to shoot in the first 10 seconds of the shot clock, and if you can have the paint wide open because they're out guarding Kaminsky, it just makes all the difference for the guards to be able to get good looks at the rim. So I think that just being on the floor is going to make other guys better, and he's incredibly smart. He's a great passer. He's unselfish. He really knows how to play. He can handle pass and shoot, and that's rare for a seven-footer.
Jonathan, he had a heck of a 20-game stretch, and he's Frank Kaminsky's teammate. First of all, does Sam Dekker go ahead of Kaminsky, and how did he go from being just a good athlete to now what a lot of people consider, and I think you do as well, closer to an elite-level athlete?
He grew. You know, he was 6'6.5", 6'7", coming into college, and now yesterday he measured 6'9". So some of these guys don't reach their full physical maturation until, you know, a little bit later on. Everybody kind of goes through different, you know, phases in that regard. I don't see him being drafted ahead of Kaminsky just because Kaminsky is the more rare and valued commodity, just being a, you know, a stretch four, a seven-footer who is very, very skilled. But I think Dekker is going to go pretty high in his own right. I think he's going to start getting some looks in the late lottery, and I don't see him getting too far out of the mid-first round.
Jonathan Givony joining us here on Sharp and Betting in the Morning. You follow Jonathan on Twitter at Draft Express, the NBA Draft Combine going on in Chicago. A guy that when he first announced he was coming out, we both looked at each other and said, boy, he would be nice to come back for one more year. Your thoughts on Kelly Oubre coming out early from Kansas and where he might, is he inside of the lottery in your mocks?
If you had to build a basketball player from scratch, it would probably look a lot like Kelly Oubre. He's got size, he's got a perfect frame, he's got 7'2 wingspan. You know, so he is kind of the ideal. You know, he's a prototype of what teams are looking for at that wing position. Now, in terms of skills, he's a long ways to go. He's probably not ready to step on an NBA court right now, and he wasn't a particularly productive college player. But teams are hoping that, you know, if they can get him into their system with their coaches working on him 24/7, then he can develop into a kind of Paul George or something like that, who also wasn't a very good college player, didn't even make his conference tournament, let alone the NCAA tournament at Fresno State. So I think, I think that this is it's a pretty loaded class in terms of wings, and there's not much separation between, Mario Hezonja, Justice Winslow, Stanley Johnson, and him, and then you can maybe even throw Dekker into that mix. So there's about five guys who are going to go in the lottery, and I think every team has them rated differently.
All right, I want to talk. Stanley Johnson is a guy that I kind of want to talk about, especially when you were describing Oubre. He's a little bit, he's physically, he's a little bit bigger, but some of the same descriptors. In basketball, how tricky is it when people say the film doesn't lie? Because I get the sense, if you saw Stanley Johnson up close, he's probably a better player than maybe what you saw flashes of during his first year.
Yeah, I mean, he's another guy who, you know, you have to project on a little bit. I think that he had a good freshman year. Maybe he would have been a little bit better if he was in a situation like Winslow, where he was able to play the four with shooters around him, would have given him a little bit more space to operate. Instead, he played the two with a lot of non-shooters, you know, Tarzewski, Ashley, Rondé Jefferson. McConnell isn't even a great shooter. So that probably prevented him from maybe showing everything he can do, because he's such a freight train when he's, you know, when he's playing downhill, when he's in transition, when he's creating his own shot in the half court. And I think that's where he's going to have a little bit of an advantage at the NBA level. And he's also a much better shooter than a lot of people realize. So he doesn't have the same type of upside as a Kelly Oubre, because he's not quite as athletic, but I think he's a better all-around basketball player, and he's probably more ready to contribute right away.
All right, Jonathan, it's the NBA draft, so I'm always hesitant to use the term safe. But we could talk above the rim or below the rim bigs. Is Karl Anthony Towns or Jahlil Okafor the safer pick?
I think Towns, probably, just because he has a couple of things he can do right away, just in terms of his ability to protect the basket. That's a huge thing. He's a phenomenal shot blocker. He's got 7'5" wingspan, and he can really, really move. So that, and then offensively, he's a versatile guy. He doesn't really excel in one area right now, but he can shoot the ball. He can pass it a little bit. He can score with his back to the basket. He's a very good finisher. He's a safe pick. He's a guy that you can do a lot of different things with. You can plug into almost any system. He can play with every type of player. Jahlil Okafor, you need to kind of build around him a little bit more, because you can't put him with another big man who plays inside the paint. It's going to draw double teams. It's going to be a mess. You need to have shooters. You need to have a point guard who is really committed to getting the ball. You really need to design your playbook around him. And not that that's not safe. I think that whatever team drafts him is going to be aware of that. But he's not as easy to plug in as Karl Towns is.
All right, with Justice Winslow, you talked about some intangibles, like his ability, winning a lot and being competitive. This guy, I'm a Carolina fan. He was a Chapel Hill killer. Jerian Grant appears to have an NBA-type flow game, right? They played in a wide-open offense. Comes from good basketball stock. Do we sell Jerian Grant short?
I mean, it depends what you say. Sell short. I mean, I think I have him projected in the late lottery, the mid first round. So, you know, if you talk about a year ago, nobody was even talking about him as a first round pick. I mean, I don't even know if he would have been drafted had he been in last year's draft. So he really helped himself quite a bit. The age thing always hurts these guys a little bit, because you wonder if he is what he is to a certain degree physically. But I think he's a really, really good basketball player, and I think he's got a great chance to be the first point guard drafted after Moutier and D'Angelo Russell.
Hey, Jonathan, we appreciate your time and your knowledge, and it'll be good follow this weekend on Twitter. And as we get closer to the draft, about 6 weeks away, we'll check in again with you.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Jonathan Givony. You can follow him on Twitter at Draft Express. Taran Petaway at the NBA Draft Combine going on in Chicago. They play 5-on-5. ESPN2 will carry it, I believe, from 2 to 5, 2 to 6 for the next couple of days.
Pat away!
Hey, if Moutier has, and he will, and he could potentially be a Laker, blows up at the next level, you have any sort of concern that people might take the Moutier route?
I think that's a big-time concern, because there was just a report, 2 days ago, a guy in Las Vegas wants to put together a league where
that's what they do.
Yep. Well, and then NBA.
That article is the only reason I asked the question, because that's got to be tempting to guys.
Well, and what does the NBA do? Because they want to keep the relationship, but then they say, we've got the D League.
Yeah, but because Moutier was playing against subpar talent in China.
No. But you know, if he stays in college, what's the difference in his game? I mean, if he would have ended up at SMU instead of not been able to go there.
Well, and Larry Brown, I trust. I mean, you got to, right? And he about had that guy. And if he is going to be a Laker, I mean, I don't know what you do with Clarkson, but that's neither here nor there. I just wonder if that's what, because he was making money.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to have you're essentially going to have two first round picks because you're going to get back Randall from an injury, who I know you love, and then you'll have Rondo and Bryant, and then who else?
Well, you can't have Moutier, Rondo, and Clarkson.
Keep Jeremy Lin. I mean, why get rid of him?
Man, you better stop.
You got Swaggy P.
Anybody else?
Now that's the one. That's the one guy I want to keep.
And Byron Scott.
And he's crazy.
Byron Scott and Mitch Kupchak. You better hope they're on the same page.
Yeah, I don't think they're always Swaggy
P. That's an odd roster.
It is. You got a lot of light guys.
All right, one more hour to go. Brian Edwards will join us in the 10 o'clock hour. Sharp and Betting in the Morning, 1620 The Zone.